peace. And God gave so many gifts unto the body, and they're to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. And it's the building up of the body. So chapter 4, our practical has to do with our attitude toward this body and toward the members that are in this body. And so when I come to chapter 5, you'll find he says in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, of course, if you got the NIV, RSV, ASV, it talks about being an imitator of God. And that's, they talk about the better translations. You're not to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not to imitate God. The great imitator, well, in fact, look back with me, hang on there and turn back to Isaiah. Look in Isaiah chapter 14. And Isaiah chapter 14, just to identify who he's talking about, notice in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" So I know exactly who Lucifer is. "Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Now watch it. "I will be like the Most High." There's the imitator. And so somewhere, someplace, somebody in the New Bibles, the NIVs, the ASV, the RSVs, they want you to think that Paul's telling you as a member of the body of Christ to be an imitator of God. And the great imitator is Satan. So that right there is proof. If you didn't have no more proof than where them Bibles come from and the translations that they give, they ought to be thrown in the trash. Paul says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness, and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints." And he goes on down and he begins to list several things. Verse 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you by vain words, for because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." The children of disobedience would be the children of this world. And it would be connected with Romans chapter 1. And of course, I don't want to get all in that. But chapter 5 talks about following God. It talks about our walk. And we're not to be like the Gentiles that are in the flesh. And he begins it back in chapter 4, verse 17. He said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds." And so, we come to chapter 5, and so how are we to walk? We're not to walk like the other Gentiles. We're to follow God as dear children. Well, the question would come, say, well, how in the world can I follow the Lord? And it has to do with His Word. It has to do with following Him and what He says. Now, God is not going to speak to you and give you a new revelation. God has already given you all the revelation you need to know. There are no new mysteries to be revealed. He revealed them through the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote down everything that you as a member of the body of Christ need in the dispensation of grace. While we're there, notice I'm going to go ahead and read verse 10. Verse 7. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. That goes all the way back with the Gentiles that know not God. And it's sort of like Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And so he's talking about our walk should not be influenced by the world and by religion and by the systems of this world. We should not be influenced by what some theologian has to say or some National Geographic special that they found the bones of Jesus and all of this stuff you see in this world. Our influence should be this book. And this is the way we follow God. And we follow Him as a dear child. In other words, it reminds me when Robbie was little. Which has been a long, 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 long time ago. No, but I remember one time when he was small, as a little boy, about 5 years old or so, he wanted to go coon hunting with me. And I took him coon hunting. And I'm truffling through here, and I was letting him walk behind me because I wasn't going to carry him everywhere. He's 5 or 6 years old. I don't know if he remembers it or not. But we was living on the old mountain road, and we went down there, and we let the dogs out and let them down there coon hunting, and he was following me back up through there. And I'd get a little bit further away, and Daddy, 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 wait up. And so, he was following me. Well, he didn't know he was following where I was going. As a little child, if I'd stepped off in the hole, he probably would have come off in there with me. I mean, that's the point of our following, is that we trust the Lord in what He says, and we follow Him based upon His Word. Let me show you what to illustrate this. Turn with me and look in Philippians. We'll take Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, and notice in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's not working for your salvation, it's working it out. In other words, it's letting it do work. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasures. Who does the work? God. How in the world does God work in us? How is it our salvation is working out, and it's God that worketh in you to work that salvation out, is get that thing out? Well, look in Thessalonians. And notice when Paul talks about this thing, notice he talks about in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and I hope you'll see this, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have the Jews. But verse 12 is where he says, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so God works out. How? By his word. Now you know why the Lord doesn't work in people's lives like they think he ought to? They don't know the Bible. And so they, instead of following the Lord as a dear child and following what thus saith the Lord, and watch this, watch that, now don't step in that, just follow me, and they don't know. So they try to follow the Lord out of the imaginations of their own heart. And so Paul, in the book of Ephesians, you'll find that, it, like I said, in chapter 4, it has to do with our relationship in the body. And chapter 5, it has to do with more our relationship working out of that body and doing the work of the Lord. Now, notice he goes on, and he tells us in verse 8, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Well, light has to do with knowledge. If you are in darkness, you have no knowledge of anything that's around. You can't see nothing. If we turned off all the lights and shut everything up where it would be just black in here of darkness, you couldn't see. You wouldn't have no knowledge of what's around you. And that's the children of light has to do with what knowledge. You as a child of God in the body of Christ, you should know what the Lord is doing. You should have that knowledge of what he's done for you and walk as children of light in that knowledge and not be influenced by this world. And, you know, there's attack on people's faith today and on this Bible. I was flipping the channels and they come out with a special. I believe it's coming on tonight at 9 o'clock. The Devil's Bible. And it's a 165-pound book. They think they don't know who wrote it and all that. And it's very old, and they call it the Devil's Bible. Well, I got 3 or 4 of them on my shelves in there, my study. I mean, you know. Things like that shake people, and they get, oh, just like they found, they said, you know, that here a while back, the tomb of Jesus and all that. And that one man said, oh, if we find bones in there, that's really going to shake the Christian faith because their whole faith is rested on the fact that he arose. Now listen to me. If you was Joseph of Arimathea and you loaned the Lord Jesus Christ your tomb, okay? And you said, and he used it for 3 days and it's a brand new tomb, where would you tell your family to bury you when you died? Huh? I mean, you see how stupid this world is? They've gone plumb mad. Gonna shake my faith? Why, what's your faith in? Some hole in the wall somewhere that they say that could be the tomb. Who knows whose tomb it was? And on the thing goes. And it's an attack against the Christianity, the body of Christ, and the faith in this King James Bible. This Bible is hated in this world. And another thing, why would the world be any different than the God of this world? The God of this world is called a deceiver. Why would the world not try to deceive you? The god of this world is called the tempter. Then why would this world not try to tempt you? Everything that Satan is, this world that he's the god of, is his influence, and he uses the world to bash the Christian and try to shake their faith. But if your faith is in what thus saith the Lord, and your faith is in this Bible, then there's nothing that can shake it. Now, he goes on, so walk as children of light in the knowledge of the Word, in knowing what God is doing today. You can go up to a Christian. I ask them, people say they're a Christian. Well, what's the Lord doing today? Many of them will say, well, he's advancing his kingdom. Is that right? Where is that kingdom? I mean, you think about it. Jesus Christ said there was a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and come again. Well, he ain't came again. So there's no kingdom to advance right now. So if somebody would come to you and say, all right, you a Bible believer, what's the Lord doing today? What would you tell them? I would say, well, he's building a building. What kind of building? It's called the body of Christ. And he's fitly framing it together. And when that building's complete, he's going to take it out of here. Walk as children of light. For look back in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13. In verse 11 it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And boy, it is nearer now, isn't it? About 2,000 years. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberlain and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Look with me about this knowledge in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Notice in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And the verse 9 tells you what that knowledge of God is. It's the knowledge of His will. And the only way you can walk worthy of the Lord is to walk according to the knowledge of His will, knowing what is the will of the Lord is today. Well, I know God will have all men to be saved. I know it's God's will that everybody be saved. I know it's God's will that every saved person come unto the knowledge of the truth, the light of the truth. And if I'm not in the light of the truth, there's no way I can walk in the knowledge of His will and in the light. Look what he said back in Ephesians. See how it ties together in Ephesians 5 again. Notice in Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now watch it. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, knowledge. See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There's the whole knowledge, is knowing the will of the Lord, knowing what is acceptable to Him, and walking in the light of that will. Now, what is the will of the Lord? Well, I just told you. He would have all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth, and He's putting together a body. And we went over that back in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 20. Verse 20, Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And that has to do with His body. Look back into verse chapter 1, verse 22, and hath put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And folks, that building is the body of Christ. And He's building that building. He would have all men to be saved. Those that are in that building have light. And it was wrote down for them in Romans through Philemon. But the majority of the church today is in darkness. Why? They don't rightly divide this Bible. And they don't understand about right division. Now, he switches gears here in verse there, and he says, verse 15, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This walking circumspectly, and it ties in with chapter 4 of Colossians, and really a lot of the verses is in Ephesians. You find a parallel verse in Colossians, because Colossians is wrote to people like the Ephesians were wrote to. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are out, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So the wisdom there, he said, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, because you're in the God of this world's domain, and you're in this world, and as He is, so the world will be. The world's not going to be no different than the God of this world. And that's what I want to try to get across to you today. Ever how Satan would treat you as a member of the body of Christ, this world will treat you. He will deceive you. They will deceive you. I think a lot of times, I wonder how much is deception. I wonder how much that you see on the boob tube and all of this stuff is nothing but setups and con games and to deceive you and make you think something and brainwash people and coming from the God of this world. Just as the devil will do, so will his world do. Walk circumspectly, always knowing what's all around you. 360 degrees. I mean, know what's there. Redeeming the time, buying it up, using every moment of time that you might be able to walk pleasing to Him. And he says there, understanding what the will of the Lord is, His plan and His purpose for you. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to just say one thing about that. Being drunk on wine is not rolling around in the floor, foaming at the mouth, and speaking in what they call tongues and all that jumping pews. I want to show you what being filled with the Spirit is. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It's not no second blessing. It's not something that hits you in the top of the head and knocks you down and you faint and you roll in the floor and pass out and all that stuff. It's not that. I asked a boy one time, told me he was in a prayer meeting. He come there and he was a man. He said, "Boy, God spoke to me last night." I said, "Is that right?" I said, "What did He say?" And he went off on something. Said, "I was in the Spirit and I can't really tell you all, but I know it's God." And I said, "Did He speak in an audible voice?" He said, "Yes, sir. I heard Him." And I said, "I'm going to ask you one question. I mean, you've got to be close to the Lord. You've got to know God to have all of that. I've never had Him speak to me." I said, "Could you tell me what the gospel of Christ is?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "There's four of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." Here's a man that had an experience that could not even tell you what the gospel was. You know what my Bible says? If the gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. I want you to see what being filled with the Spirit is. He says, "Be not drunk on wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Well, you know what it is to be drunk, don't you? I mean, some of you might not, but most of you do. You've been around a drunk, or you've seen a drunk, haven't you? They're under the influence of that alcohol, aren't they? And they're really not in control. The alcohol's controlling. When somebody's real drunk, they can be bold, whereas when they don't have the alcohol, they can be shy. You know? So they're under the influence. They're not themselves. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to read chapter 5, Ephesians again. Now look what he said, verse 18. "Be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." That's about the way drunks are. They get to singing and everything, okay? They get happy. Alright? Nothing wrong with being happy. Now look in Colossians. Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom, you richly in all wisdom." Now watch it. "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word and do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and the Father by Him." Do you know why they're happy in Colossians? Because they're under the Word of Christ is dwelling in them richly. They're under the influence of His Word. You know what it is to be filled with the Spirit, the dispensation of grace? It's to have the Word of Christ dwelling in you and you walking according to His Word. And the Spirit of God uses the words of God to direct your paths. And when you don't know what to do and you pray and a verse of Scripture comes to your mind or you hear something, the Spirit of God will take a verse of Scripture and bring it to your mind, and He's speaking to you through His Word. If you don't know the Word, He's as quiet and you're a defeated person. All right. Next week we'll continue with chapter 5 because it changes gears and shows our relationship. You take a break.